Well, let's go this morning to part two of our series on victory over darkness. The first thing I want to quickly tell you again, I don't know whether it's the first or which number I'm in now. God really wants you to have victory. It is His desire. I know Satan keeps bombarding you with thoughts of defeat. And I know Satan constantly makes you think that things are not going to change. But they will. They will change. I promise you. I was sitting with a brother during the week, and we were remembering a few years ago where we were. I was not the pastor that I'm today. But I used to speak to him, just share the word of God to him. And I see how that word has changed his life. And we're just looking back and wondering at how good God has been. Please, brothers and sisters, do not joke with God. And do not joke with His word. Please, I'm begging you. It is so real. It is so real. Even when you think you are joking, it's very real. It's very real. So God really wants you to have victory. Don't believe that lie that as the mark of the beast is coming, all these things that are coming, they are coming to destroy you. Don't believe that thing. I'm telling you the truth. God would have never allowed you to be alive in this time if God knew that you cannot survive the pandemic. You cannot survive anything that is going to come. We are the right people to be alive right now. We are the right Christian to be alive right now. We are the only Christian that God knows or knew will be able to stand against this thing that is coming. God knew we are the right people. So don't allow Satan to make you already feel defeated before the time. Don't believe him. Believe that if God has allowed you to be alive in such a time as this, you are like Esther. You might not know your strength, but if you can just enter prayer and fasting, the same way Esther did. Esther didn't know her strength. Esther didn't know that right where she was, inside her was a capacity to stop a calamity. But as she started engaging prayer and fasting, a power was released from heaven, and that power destroyed what Satan was planning. I came to tell you this morning, as you start praying and fasting, not just for your family, but for this world that you are living into, trust me, the power of God is going to descend in this world, and God is going to confuse our enemies. God is going to confuse our enemies. I see God confusing your enemies in the name of Jesus. First Corinthians 15 verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us victory. This morning I say, thanks be to God who gives us victory, including in the times we are living in, including in the times that we are here coming. Thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus conquered Satan once and for all. Satan will never conquer the church because the church is the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Our head has conquered Satan. So it is a simple job for the body. He is under our feet, and that is where he's going to remain always, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to understand that you don't belong to a losing team. You belong to a team of victory, and you have victory in the name of Jesus. Victory belongs to you. Please help me tell the person next to you, you have the victory. You have the victory. You have the victory. Don't allow the devil to deceive you. Don't allow the devil to make you stop praying by causing you to believe that your prayers don't work. Oh, your prayers are working. It's a matter of time. You will see that every single word that came out of your mouth never fell to the ground. God has received those words, and he's blessing you with his presence. It's working. And you have the victory. Amen. Thanks be to God. I don't know what you are facing right now. I don't know what it is, but let me quote for you. 1 Corinthians 15:57. thanks be to God who gives you the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to quickly also make you understand this morning. The victory I'm talking about is more than just subduing demons. It's more than just breaking through poverty. It's more than getting married, buying a house, buying your first car. Because some of you, that is the victory you are trusting God for. The victory I'm talking about this morning is more than building a big church. It's more. Come with me to Luke 10, verse 17. The Bible says, the 70 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. They were excited. They were experiencing victory over darkness. Because demons represent the kingdom of darkness. And it's not a simple thing. All problems that humanity is faced with are produced by demons. Actually, just deal with demons and many problems will disappear. So they were very excited. They returned with joy. Many of you are going to return with joy out of these 21 days of prayer and fasting. You are returning with joy. You are returning with joy. The Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap with joy. I don't know what you are sowing. And I don't know whether you are sowing in tears, like some of us are. But if you are sowing in tears, you shall return with joy. The 72 returned with joy. And they said, Lord, even the demons. Tell your neighbor, even the demons, even the demons. Even the demons. Why were they saying even the demons? Because sickness was already submitting to them. Poverty was submitting to them. Lack was submitting to them. Anything was submitting to them. Even the demons were submitting to them. Receive an even the demon grace in the name of Jesus. Even the demons will submit to you. The Bible says these are the signs that will follow those who believe. In my name, number one, they will cast out devils. If you are a believer, that is the first thing you should be able to do. Casting out devils. The reason why your life is complicated is because demons are moving freely. They are freely moving around. Ask yourself, when was the last time you cast out demons? Ask yourself that question. You are just sleeping. There is a brother that was explaining to us that one day he was sleeping, in the morning he woke up and the security guard told him that, you know, last night somebody came here and the person was running around the yard making prayers and throwing stuff. He said, what? They said, yes. The guy said to him, look, in the night I saw that man, I was so afraid. I remained in my little, because you guys didn't, you are not hiring me to fight people that are casting spells. I'm here to fight robbers and thieves. So he was not stealing anything. I didn't see the need to attack him. So the guy said, he came and he was moving around the house. 3 a.m. So the guy he was talking to said, actually he was a pastor, he was talking to a pastor. And the pastor said, here am I. At 3 a.m. I was snoring in my bed. I was snoring in my bed at 3 a.m. And at that same 3 a.m., an agent of Satan was not snoring at all. He was around my yard moving. So if an agent of the devil can be at work at 3 a.m., who are you to be sleeping at 3 a.m.? Victory over darkness. You are snoring. Other people are busy rearranging your whole life. By the time you woke up in the morning, they have already closed the chapter. No wonder you are struggling to even open it. They've already closed the book. They've already closed the book. Receive and even the demons' grace right now. Even the demons are submitted. Even the demons. They must submit. Even the demons submit to us. May you say such things.
Amen.
May you, even the demon of laziness,
amen,
has submitted to you.
Amen.
Even the demons of oversleeping,
amen,
has submitted to you.
Amen.
Even the demons of easily offended,
amen,
has submitted finally.
Amen.
The demons of bitterness and unforgiveness have submitted finally.
Amen.
The demons of lust, the demons of pornography,
amen,
they have submitted finally.
Amen.
They have submitted. The demons of fornication that are manipulating your little genitals, they have submitted finally. In the name of Jesus. Even the demons are submitted. You see, in our life, most of the time is the reverse. It's people are submitted to demons. But the disciples had demons submitted to them. Victory over darkness. Now listen, Jesus replied after they made that report to Jesus. You see, when you are sent to go and do something, you must always come and report back. Those of you that you are giving instructions, you do things, you do your own things. You see, they were sent. Now they came to report. When you are sent, a report is expected back. A report is expected. Based on their report that even the demons are submitted to them, Jesus answered and replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. This is how the Son of Man is now answering them. He says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. You must never forget that statement. Satan didn't fall from money. Satan didn't fall from, I don't know what you are thinking. He fell from heaven. That's where he fell from. That's why Satan has vowed that because he fell from there, nobody will go there. You see, Satan doesn't mind giving you money. He will give it to you. He gives it all the time to people. The one thing he will never give to you is heaven. Never. Because that's actually where he fell from. I saw Satan falling from heaven. Not from a palace. He can give you palaces if that's what you want. I'm saying that victory over darkness is more than demons. He says to them, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. I'm claiming that scripture for the time we are living in right now. Coronavirus will not harm me because the Bible says that I have given you authority over snakes and scorpions. Now, think about it for a second. Is it good to see a snake? Is it good to see a scorpion? So do not be alarmed when you have to crush a snake. It's not easy. God has given you authority over something to trample it. But it is not that you are trampling mud. When you are trampling mud, it's nothing. But here you have been given authority to trample snakes. So don't be surprised when you are trying to trample them, you feel like you are being trampled. It's because they themselves are not easy. But God says, I have given you authority over them. You have authority. You will feel scared. But if a snake is coming in front of you now, you will not just feel like, wow, come, let me show you. The authority you've been giving is over some very dangerous creatures. But he says they will not harm you. You just place your feet on them and you will crush them down. I see you crushing them in the name of Jesus. Many of you are afraid to wake up in the night because you are afraid of the night. It's those snakes, you see. Some of you, the night itself is a snake. Just the dark is a scorpion. But unknown to you, you have authority over it. Just stand on the word of God. Don't believe your fears. Don't believe your feelings. Take Luke 10, 17 to 20. Open the Bible. Say, God says here, he has given me authority over snakes and scorpions. I therefore choose to believe the word of God, not how I feel. I believe that what God is saying here is more powerful than how I'm feeling here. And you act on what you are believing. Are you getting what I'm saying? He says, however, do not rejoice that spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I came to tell you the total victory I'm talking about, the victory over darkness I'm talking about. It's not just about, you see, these guys came and told Jesus, look, you know, we are submitting, we are blasting devils, we are doing this, amen. And anybody would think that is power. But Jesus knew that that is not the main thing. The main thing is your name written in heaven. Because Satan fell from heaven. And as long as Satan can get your name to not be written in heaven, you can even blast his demons, do whatever you want to do with his demons. But if he can manage to ensure that your name is not written in heaven, brother, he has had victory over you. No, cast all the demons on earth. And if your name is not written in heaven, you have still lost the battle. You have still lost the battle. Real victory over darkness, my brother, is for your name to be written in the book of life in heaven. That is because Satan's chief ambition and goal is not just to make you poor. No, that is simple. The main thing Satan doesn't want is for you to not enter heaven, because that is where he fell from. I hope you understand. So Jesus was telling them, I saw that guy fall from a place. Please don't rejoice that you are busy with his small demons. Rather rejoice that you have your name there, that place where he fell from. That is where you are going to. That is where you must make. You must make it to the place where he fell from. Real victory over darkness is to have your name written in the book of life. And I want to prove it to you. Revelation chapter 3 verse 5. The Bible says, all who were victorious. All who are victorious will be clothed in white. I will never erase their names from the book of life. It means your name can be erased. You see, when I read this scripture, I became very afraid. If you cannot if it was that the moment your name is in the book of life, it can never be erased, why would Jesus say it?
It's a preaching. Preaching.
Will you talk about erasing something if there is no possibility of erasing it? He says, I will never erase their names. It means a name can be erased from the book of life. And that's why many of you that are watching me this morning, when we talk about victory over darkness, all we are thinking about is demons, poverty, this and this, because you are thinking your name is already in the book of life. You are thinking to yourself, man, I've already overcome. I'm already there. There's no more anything. I don't need. So your Christianity is descending into complete destruction. Let me tell you something, my brother. Let me tell you something. You are not safe until you hear him say, well done. Did you hear that? You are in a game. Until the referee whistles the last blow, that game is not over, my friend. And that is where many Christians are missing their thing. That is where many of you that are watching me this morning, you've missed it. And that's why Satan has managed to silence many of you. It's because you thought, because your name, you were told, your name is written in the book of life. And because your name is in the book of life, I've already made it, so I can now just relax and enjoy my life. And Satan has jumped on the occasion and he's been playing you. So I want to prove to you quickly that until your ears hear, well done, good and faithful servant, your game is not over. Let me start. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. The curriculum is before you every day. But we are deceived into thinking that we cannot play God. He says, not everyone who calls out, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. Who is he talking about? Is he talking about sinners? Okay, let's keep reading. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Only. So there are people who will think they enter and they will not enter. He says, on judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. Now, sinners don't prophesy in his name. We cast out demons. That's what I was talking about now. We cast out demons in your name. The 72 return with joy, saying even demons are submitted to us. He said, they will say, we've cast out demons in your name. We perform many miracles in your name. Is this the talk of sinners? Is this a report of sinners? I don't think so. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Real victory, my brother, is not to cast demons. It's to have your name written in the book of life. I want to read to you something I believe many of you are not aware of. For some of you, it will be the first time you hear that. But it's important you hear it. Matthew 22 from verse 11. But when the king came in to meet the guest, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for the wedding. Jesus is now telling them about when the church is raptured, and the church is in this marriage with Jesus, and the king is coming to meet the guests, which are the different members of the church from all over the world. He's telling them that story. He says, the king noticed a man in that big crowd that was already in heaven. The king noticed one man. And the Bible says he wasn't wearing the proper clothes. And if you listen, the first verse I read, it says they were all wearing white. He wasn't wearing the proper clothes. Friend, he asked, how is it that you are here without wedding clothes? He asked, how is it that you are here? Hola, how did you get here? Listen, but the man had no reply. Then the king said to the eight, the servants, bind his hands and feet and throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to ask you a question. How did this guy pass all the checks? It's as if, because for you to make it here, your name has to be in the book of life. That's how you get here. For Jesus to have told us this story, it means there are people who will actually enter heaven only to be thrown back out. Maybe my interpretation is wrong. I'm standing to be corrected. God may almost help me. But based on what I'm seeing here, you better watch it. He didn't have the proper clothes. And the Bible says that God is preparing for himself a bride spotless. And the Bible says that God is watching us by the washing of the word. He uses his word to cleanse us. Believers are busy dodging scriptures, dodging the word, distracted when the word is being preached. They never spend time in the word for themselves. Because for them, their names are already in the book of life. I came to tell you this morning, don't relax. The fight is still on. The fight is still on. Philippians 2 verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. Many of you only obey in my presence. I'm talking about me, Pastor Pascal. Now that we are no more in the same place, we've now been sent in homes. It's a mess. It's a mess. He's saying to them, not only in my presence, don't only obey when you are watched. Don't only pray when we can see you pray. Don't only read your Bible when we can see, because you see, you are preparing yourself for a wedding, and every decision you are making is helping you prepare your clothes. He says that, but now, much more in my absence. Much more now in my absence. Much more now when I cannot see you, you must be obeying. Much more now when I cannot pray for you, when I cannot check you, you should be obeying more. Much more now. This is not the time to drop everything and to start just relaxing. This is rather the time to be more vigilant. He says, much more in my absence. Much more in my absence. He says, much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't joke with your salvation just because pastor is no more there. Don't joke with your salvation just because we are no more going to church. Don't joke with your salvation just because we are no more in the building. This is not the time to joke with your salvation. This is the time to work it out more diligently. I wish I could pour out my heart and give to you. This is not time to joke. This is not time to play around. We have passed that. We have passed that a long time ago. Except if you are not serious about heaven, you are not serious about God and all these things, then really I'm not talking to you. But if you are serious about what I'm teaching, you must understand that Paul is saying to them, look, now that you can't see me, is the time you have to be more diligent, more committed, more intentional, more dedicated, more faithful, not less faithful. Some believers take this as an opportunity for them to now start blasting in sin. How misled they are. how misled they are. Till the last minute, Paul kept fighting. I'm finding him in Philippians 3 verse 9. He says, not that I have already obtained all this. You see, Paul is saying, he say he doesn't believe he has already obtained. Or I have already arrived at my goal. He says, but I press on. I press on. Not that I've already arrived. Paul, what are you talking about? Arriving where? Now, Christians are already sleeping by the beach. Paul is saying, I have not arrived yet. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I'm pressing on. Then he goes on to say, I forget what lies behind me. Whatever it is, whether good or bad, I need to forget it. I have a journey in front of me. I have a goal to reach. There's a song we sing in this country. There is a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. Give me power every hour to be true. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, he says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. He says, otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself will be disqualified. Ah, Paul, what are you saying? Paul is saying what I've been saying. You can preach and be disqualified. Yeah. He says, I discipline my body. Because your greatest enemy to finishing this journey is your body. That body that is resisting this fast doesn't want to fast. Paul described people that their body has taken control in Philippians 3:18. He says, for many, not few, many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now I'm telling you even weeping, they are the enemies of the cross. He said, they walk as enemies of the cross. What is cross? Cross is suffering and pain. They don't want anything that is going to produce any form of pain. They walk as enemies of the cross. He says, whose end is destruction? They will be destroyed at the end. He says, whose God is their belly? Their stomach is their God. And who set their minds on earthly things? You see, he's describing these people with four things. Number one, enemies of the cross. Number two, their stomach is their belly. Number three, they set their minds. Number one, enemies of the cross. Number two, their end is distraction. Number three, their stomach is their God. Number four, their mind is on the things of earth. When your stomach is your God, you can't fast. You have to respond to the demands of your stomach. And that always leads to distraction. Paul says, I discipline my body. I discipline it. If you don't discipline your body will remove you out of this journey. He says, like an athlete. Have you seen an athlete? They don't do what the stomach says. The stomach does what they say. You better wake up in that your house and realize that we are not in a joke here. This is serious business. Now contrast that with the statement of Jesus in John 7:38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. One Christian, the stomach is the God. Another Christian, the stomach is a tool to produce miracles. This one, the belly is his God. The other one, the belly is used to produce flows of rivers. And the Bible says, but this spake he of the Spirit. So the other one is using the stomach to feed himself. The other one is using the stomach to produce, to pray. This spake he of the Spirit. So the more you eat, the less water can, the less the streams can flow out of your belly. So Psalm 63 verse 1. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My mind is on you. My mind wants God, not sex. Not pornography. Not to show off my body. My mind wants God. Say, my soul, that is where your mind is. That is where your decisions are. That's where your feelings are. He said, my soul thirsts for you. He says, my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Your flesh speaks of your body. Fasting involves your soul and your body. Both. Verse 2 says, so I have looked, he said, where there's no water, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Why do we fast? Not to have a hunger strike. We want to see the power of God. We want to see God move. We want to see the power of God revealing the situation that we are facing. David says, I'm fasting to see your power. You see, when you don't have the right objective, your fasting will never work. It will never work. Some of you are fasting to just end the fast. No intent, no purpose, nothing meaningful that you are trying to achieve. Yet there are so many issues in your life that require power. So many issues in your life that will never move an inch without power. He said, I want to see the power of God. Once you get that objective right, fasting becomes easy. Becomes very easy. I see you fasting this last week. I see you giving yourself wholly, wholly, seeking God, disciplining your body, bringing your mind under construction. There's some of you are fasting, you're always on Facebook, you're always on Instagram. You are joking. I'm saying to you, you are joking. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. We are changing, right? We are changing in the name of Jesus. Receive grace to change. Receive grace to change. Yes. Your mind. The Bible says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you can think. You see, your mind is used for God in the operations of the Spirit. What you think about is important. When you give your mind to the devil through the social media and all these things, you will never be able to produce anything. Because your mind is constantly thinking about wrong things. There's no discipline in your mind. Therefore, there's no discipline in the body. Therefore, there's no power in your life. But this morning, God is visiting somebody. God is strengthening somebody. God is reviving the faith of somebody. I'm preaching this morning about the true victory over darkness. The true victory over darkness is not just to subdue demons. Is to have your name in the book of life. And for you to have your name in the book of life permanently, you need to discipline your body. Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about. My prayer is that this message will revive your spirit. My prayer is that you will come out of any form of joke you are into. My prayer is that all the deception Satan has been loading you in, he has made you to relax. He has made you to just fall asleep and to just enjoy yourself. And while he is busy in the night destroying you, the word has come to bring direction. Amen. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up, not descend. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. Wings as eagles. You see, the importance about understanding the eagle is that the eagle is the only bird that flies in the storm. When it is stormy, every other bird goes and hides. The eagle rises. This storm that has come in our world, how many eagles will still be soaring? How many eagles will still be out there soaring in the midst of the storm? When other people are losing their feathers, they will be soaring. When other people are losing blood, they will be soaring. I see eagles rising out of this church. I see eagles rising out of this church. Not chickens. At the first thunder, they are hiding under the trees. Chickens. Not even talk of fly. They can't fly. A chicken cannot fly. Cannot fly. So they shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. You will not hear them say, "Oh no, I think I'm tired now. I've been fighting too much temptation. I'm tired now." No, they don't grow weary. They don't grow weary until they overcome. They don't grow weary until they subdue the enemy. They don't give up. You will not hear them say, "No, I think I've been fasting and praying for a while. Now nothing has happened. I think I must go and try other methods." You will never hear them do that. They are soaring. They are running. And they say they shall walk and not faint. You think about it. You are soaring. You are running. You are walking. And you are not fainting. At the same time, some of you, you will have to mount up, run, and walk at the same time. But God says if you are waiting on Him, you will not faint. You will run, you will not faint. You will walk, you will not faint. You will mount up, and you will still not faint. You will still be standing. Let me just help you. This pandemic will be over soon. And I'm praying that you will not be over with the pandemic. You will still be here. Stand on your feet and begin to ask God for help. Stand on your feet and begin to ask God for help right now. Wherever you are, Lord Jesus, I need strength to still be standing at the end of all this. I need strength to not stop fighting. I need strength to not start relaxing in the midst of this pandemic. Open your mouth wherever you are and begin to ask God now to give you grace. Give me grace, Lord, to wait on you. Give me grace, Lord, to wait on you. Give me grace, Lord, to spend time with you. Give me grace, Lord, to take time away with you. Grace to wait upon the Lord. Grace to wait upon the Lord. They that wait in prayer and fasting, they that wait in prayer and fasting shall renew their strength. Shall renew their strength. You're not supposed to lose strength in the fasting, my brother. You're supposed to renew strength, not lose strength. Open your mouth and pray. Right in that house, open your mouth and pray. Shapado, shapado. Shakede parado, machente capelado, brechende capelado, machente capelado, rapende che capelado, brechende capelado, mashaka de valadeva. Are you sure you are praying? How come I can't hear you? Represekete precando gadavanda. Some of you are even ashamed to pray in tongues. The Bible says, they that believe in me, streams of living waters, streams of living waters. He spoke of the Spirit. He spoke of the Spirit. Without the Spirit, you cannot make it. Without the Holy Ghost, you cannot make it. You are receiving strength this morning. You are receiving strength. You are receiving strength to stand in the door of adversity. You are receiving strength to mount up. You are not descending. You are ascending. You are running. You are walking. You are not sitting down. I'm commanding you to stand up and to start running and to start mounting up. Jata prasheteka meshete pedeba meshede pedeba yantereba zibedeba masente prekedeba masonte prekadeba je prekate paramando zafrede gadevaze ziprende galemando. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, thank you, mighty Holy Ghost. Right now in this atmosphere, I want to lead somebody to make the biggest and best decisions you can ever make with your life. You see, my problem is, I don't even know whether your name is in the book of life. Not to talk of it being erased. Has your name made it to the list yet? That's the question you must ask yourself. That's the question you must ask about your brother that is sitting next to you, your uncle, your mother. Are their names in the book of life? Because the chief purpose of Satan to come on earth, he has vowed, the place I fell from, these people will not go there. These people will not go there. You are thinking Satan is trying to get you to not get married. That is not his main thing. Marriage is nothing. His main thing is to ensure you don't make it to heaven. That's the main thing. So please put aside jokes and put aside trying to please everybody in the house. I'm asking you a question. Are you born again? Is your name written in that book I'm talking about? If your name is not there, I want your name to be there today. And it is very simple. I'm going to count up to three. If you are saying, Pastor, I want my name to be in that book permanently, I'm going to count up to three. When you hear three, shamelessly raise your right hand to the heavens. You are saying to God, Lord, I need my name in that book. I need my name in that book. One, two, three, raise your right hand. God bless you. Many of you are raising your hands. Don't be ashamed. Listen, this is between you and God. You will remember this day for the rest of your life. Many of you will make it to heaven and you will remember that it was through this day. Do this preaching. And I'm begging you, please, those that didn't watch with you this morning, I'm begging you, make sure everybody you know, all your disciples, all your sheep, everybody connected to your life must listen and watch the message I preached this morning. Every, I'm saying, not one soul. That is part of preaching the word this year. Is that the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:2, the things you have heard from me, the same commit to other faithful men who will also be able to share with others. Everything I'm teaching, take it and go and teach it. Everything I'm preaching, go and preach it. Please, I'm begging you, don't keep this for yourself. You must have many. Don't just share the message on Sunday and you go to rest. Oh, how foolish can that be? How many people can you share the message on Sunday? How many people can watch that message on Sunday? Many of you, the moment after Sunday, you close the laptop and it is the end. Who told you that the message only works on Sunday? Who lied to you that the message of God only works on Sunday for a few hours? And there are hundreds of people that were not there on Sunday and you have condemned them to hell. You have condemned them to hell. Father, forgive us for not spreading your word throughout the week. Even though we are at home the whole week, we are sitting on the messages. We are sitting on the messages, and souls are perishing out there. We are sitting on the messages, talking about useless things. Our laptops are closed the whole week. We open them on Sunday. Hypocrisy. Who lied to you that the word of God is only for Sunday? Say, give us daily our daily bread. All of you that raise your hands, I want to pray for you right now. I want you to repeat these simple words after me. Say, Lord Jesus,
I surrender my life to you today.
Forgive me my sins.
Wash me with your blood.
I believe you died for me.
On the third day you rose again.
That I might be justified.
Right now,
I believe
my sins are forgiven.
I'm justified by your blood.
I'm saved.
I'm restored.
I'm born again.
I'm a child of God.
I am free from the power of sin
to serve the living God.
Thank you, Jesus,
for receiving me.
Thank you, Jesus,
for restoring me.
Thank you, Jesus,
for saving me.
In Jesus' name, amen.